So then, so excited about sharing about God. And this is part of what we do. Sharing about God is spending awesome times of worship with Him. It's actually a testimony, eh? Spending time in God's presence. That's such a foreign concept to so many people out there. But Lauren started us off on the participation foot of answers and questions. And I'm going to carry on with that. That was not planned. I have a goodie bag here of amazing stuff, just to encourage some participation this morning. So, who believes in participation? Some participation over there. Any participators over there? I would encourage you to sit closer next week, because I can't throw that far. I have to throw it to my... Whoa. Sorry, that wasn't supposed to be in the bag. I'll try and get there. Sorry, did I not get to the front row yet? There, Auntie Barbara. Agarwal. So I should be looking this way, hon. My granddad always used to fall asleep when he drove long distances, and my nana just came up with a key to help him, and that was to buy him sparkles to suck. So if any of you battles with preachers and listening, attention. You should do better with that. But I almost forgot about these. These are up for grabs for two very lucky participants. Anyone interested? Got a few interested people. Would you like to come forward and participate? You're going to have to do something for it. Would you like to participate? Sneaky participant. Okay. So all you have to do at the count of three is to shout Jesus in the loudest form you can. So one, two, three.
Jesus!
Okay. That seemed a bit difficult for you. Was it difficult? Why would you say it wasn't difficult? What made it easy?
Well, A, I don't really care about what people think about me, and B, there is a chocolate on my line.
Have a break. And what is your reason for, was that easy for you?
Because you shouldn't care what people think of you.
Well taught. And the chocolate helps, eh? So yeah, it pays to be closer to the front. It helps participate. And, you know, any amen or well done or anything will help. What was that there? Good to... Participation I appreciate. But it's also part of what we do here at church. We don't come to hear, like Benny mentioned, a little hymn and a thing. We come ready to participate. So yeah, anyway, the illustration I had with the chocolate has got something to do with the scripture that I wanted to share from Hebrews 12. I'm just going to take one snip out of it for now, and we'll read the rest later. But it says here, looking to Jesus, this is now from 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of heaven. So there's something that Jesus had to look forward to, just like the chocolate that they had to look forward to, that enabled him to face the cross. And you can't have my water. Sometimes we can look at Jesus. I've been pondering this now for a while, so catch up if you can. But I just, the life of Jesus sometimes can be either mystical, or it can be a superhero category, or it can just be, wow, that's awesome, and we don't think much of it. But I've really been thinking about the fact that Jesus was firstly born on earth. He went through childhood, he went through the teens, he went through a career, you know, choice that he had to go through. He was human in every way. While we do believe he was both human and God at the same time, there was a restriction that he placed upon himself. He restrained himself to the restraints of humans. And with that came emotions and a will, which sometimes it's easy to overlook, because we call to follow Christ, and he's a demonstration of what we are to do here on earth. But if we view him as a superhero or something that he was just too good to be true, and so he managed to do it, we actually lose the ability to identify with him. And if we can't identify with him, the whole role model he creates for us to follow actually loses its ability to follow. So, like I was saying, that one looks more familiar. So he did that for more than 30 years, living life like we're living life. You can literally place yourself in his shoes, or him in your shoes. The problems you've faced, the temptations you've faced, he might not have dealt with them the same way as you did, but he didn't have a supernatural ability outside of what he drew from God to overcome. That is my belief. Anyway, maybe someone doesn't agree. But right up, so that anticipation of what his purpose was, he became aware of more and more, and he started sharing to his disciples, this is what's going to happen to me at some point, and he got very different responses from his disciples with that, until the point where we see him in the garden praying to Jesus, or to God, sorry, to the point where he sweated blood. That doesn't sound like a superhero to me. That is someone with a very, very, very tangible reality to a human body and a will, like even where we see there in the garden, he was submitting his will to God. He had a different plan in mind. He's like, God, is there any other way? Is there any other way? Jesus, the one that we would put in a different category. Suddenly, it's like you and I are facing something in our life where we're going, God, I'm sweating blood here. This is the agony. I mean, you don't just sweat blood. I don't know if you know of anyone that sweated blood. And it wasn't anything special about Jesus that he sweated blood. It was a physical trauma, like a traumatic point in his life. And yet, at any point in that process leading up to the cross, he could have gone, no, I'm not going to do this human thing anymore. I'm going to be God. But then in Hebrew 12, it says about him that because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The cross, the crucifixion, it's not anything less than our worst imaginable cross. I mean, the Romans were cruel. I mean, we've watched, I don't know if you guys have watched the film Passion of the Christ. I don't show my kids that yet, because it's a real, real picture of just how traumatic the ordeal was. He wasn't sweating blood because it was big in his mind. It was more than we could. But the joy that was set before him helped him endure it. in a human form. So think about that a bit. And so the question is, like, what is this joy? What could make being sacrificed on a cross endurable? The people, I mean, there were so many elements other than the physical. It's the rejection. It's the bunch of people he had built with. Suddenly he was alone to the point where even God turned his back on him on the cross. And if you were in that position and it's just like, okay, it's me and my disciples, we got something going here. Next thing, poof, there they're gone. It's like, oh my goodness, here I'm trying to patch someone's ear while I'm actually anticipating a cross here. And here I'm trying to encourage them to stay strong while I'm busy sweating blood. Yeah, then, but the joy set before him enabled him to keep the picture of what he was doing in context. And so by making him relatable in that he was a human just like you and me, we need to find and follow his steps in actually having that joy. That he's, because we all know that in the word it says, lay down your life, pick up your cross, and follow me. Now, we all know that's not possible if we are thinking about, yes, I'm alone here. You know, there's so many things in life. Sorry, there's something about speaking. I don't hear any amens yet. These guys, yeah, are getting lots of sweets. And you guys, but there's something about this joy that I need to find, and I not only need to find it. How quick does joy dissipate? Like, how many of you love camping? Oh. Oh, wow, sorry. That was a left throw. Sorry, I'm not a... Try and not hit someone. Is it the camping you enjoy or the packing the trailer before you go camping? Back here, you're just weird. I'm sorry. Give me those sweets, eh? Then why do we go camping if it's such a mission? But it's the joy of being there, holiday vibes, Skottelbraai. Heinz says no Skottelbraai. No arguments between the participate, but that's a bit. So what is this joy? I spent a long time trying to actually simplify what is this joy. There's many reasons I think he had joy, because obviously he had his own relationship with God. But this first preach gave me a snippet of what he was passionate about. After the time in the desert. So I didn't give him a scripture because I just wanted to read one verse of it. But it's in Matthew 4, verse 17. Now, he was in the desert. He got tempted. And then it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there's something about the kingdom of heaven is so attractive if you know who the king is. And the king is good. That to me, that I know it seems so simple, but the more I thought about it, the kingdom of heaven is so attractive. When you think about it, when you know who the king is, when you know that God is good all the time, God is good, it is extremely attractive. And I believe that is what he was focusing on at the cross, going, because his whole preaching time was around the kingdom of heaven. What is it like? Have you heard about this kingdom of heaven? Repent because of the kingdom of heaven. And even in his obedience to God, there was an immense trust that came going, even though you're turning your back on me right now, even though my disciples are not to be seen, I trust you because you are good. And your kingdom is good. And as I do this, I advance your kingdom. There's something about the kingdom of God that needs to grab our hearts. It needs to be our focal point through any trial. Because no matter the songs we are singing today, I couldn't have picked better ones to preach for my preach, to be honest. Because we're singing about just an abandonment to God. And I took a photo of some of it. I didn't. I just want to quickly see the. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. God, our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. That is the King of the kingdom. There is no other kingdom. This is not a kingdom. This is a bunch of people needing a savior, needing the king to rule. Because when God rules, there is freedom. There is healing. Oh, well done, hi. Oh, well caught. I think I heard something over there somewhere. there's only a couple more participant rewards in there. But Jesus paid the price for our debts. And he invites us to take up our cross and to follow him. Because of the joy set before you and I, let us endure the cross that we have because of the awesomeness of God and the reign that he has over everything. Focus our eyes on the King and his kingdom. Jesus, like Jesus, began to preach, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need to meditate on that until joy comes. In Psalms 34, verse 8, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." In Psalms 51, 12, it says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." In Matthew 16, 23, it says, "Set your mind on the things of God." That is his kingdom. Set your mind on the things of God. When we set our minds on the things of God, our minds get blown away at his goodness. The fact that he would come and bleed and sweat blood and set that role model for us and said, "I will be with you as you follow me, as you take up your cross." Meditate on God's goodness. We need to be a people who meditate on God's goodness. Oh, sorry.
There's a pocket here.
Weird, I didn't. A family throw? Oh, I would have tears if I got in the car and my kids didn't get any sweets. Yeah, bonus points there. No, but there's something about the kingdom of God that needs to grab our hearts. That is what I have to share today. Because until the kingdom of God grabs our hearts, we are going to continually look at our situations. It's like we had a response today. Of going, we want to be the arrow. We don't want to look at the arrows. We don't want to test the arrows. Let us be the arrows. Going, God, I will seek your kingdom first. Because you say, when I seek your kingdom first, all the rest will be added. Single-minded, seeking the kingdom of God first. I don't want to go longer than that. I think that is all I would like you to take home. There are many things I could, avenues, but the simplicity of this revelation, it needs to become a revelation. And you know, until it is a revelation, you will not have the joy. Without the revelation, you don't have the joy. Without the joy, you cannot endure. I said I would read Romans. I want to end with this, just reading Romans 12, 1 to 5. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? Let's pray. God, today I choose to set my eyes on you, God. You are a good, 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 good God. God, there's nothing that can be said against your name that can stand. God, with you, we can find joy. As we focus on you, as we can see our inheritance as sons and daughters, you've declared us sons and daughters, God. As we follow you, as we pick up our cross and follow you, Lord, I pray that we would have the joy that comes from that, God. That nothing, not one person in this room today can say, no, my cross is too heavy. Because God, today we choose to meditate on your goodness, God. Today we choose to believe, God. We choose to trust that your will, your purpose for our lives, God, is above every other thing, Jesus. And God, like that heart says, with hearts abandoned, with our arms wide open, we look to you this morning, God, the perfecter of our faith. Jesus, before that scripture, you mentioned Abraham. You mentioned all these people that by faith did things in you, Jesus. But God, this morning I pray that we'll have a revelation of the King and his kingdom, God. And who that King is, Jesus. God, you are good.
Thank you, Dan. Very good. Yeah, so not going to add to that. But I just felt just in line with that, that we don't just take this as a message, that we go out with this understanding, with this revelation. And you know, to me, the kingdom of heaven, that's something I've got to constantly